In the first episode of Revising Dentistry, we have a special guest with us, Dr. R.D. Das. Dr. R.D. Das is currently a director in Indian Academy of Aesthetics and Functional Rehabilitation. He's graduated from Government Dental College, Aurangabad. He's postgraduated in prosthodontics from KLA Institute of Dental Sciences in Belgaum. He has a long teaching career of 25 years in the field of prosthodontics and has churned many enterprising graduate and postgraduate students. He's the founder secretary, currently immediate past president of the Indian Prosthodontic Society, Mumbai, Navi Mumbai, ex-executive committee member, IPS head office, past president editor of IDA, Mumbai, and currently CDE convener of the same. He's also the vice president of IDA Maharashtra State, EC member and CC member IDA head office. He's also been COC member at numerous state, national and local conferences. He's been professor, head of department, prosthodontics, Dr. G.D. Pearl Foundation's YMT Dental College, Kargar, Navi Mumbai since 2006. He's also a fellow of the International College of Dentists. He has numerous publications and presentations at national and international conferences to his credit. So guys, let's welcome Dr. Ratan Das on the episode. So welcome to the podcast, sir. Today we're going to take, we're going to rewind your journey in dentistry. We're going to begin with how did you enter dentistry? And then from then on forth, we'll be going to our topic of today's video, which is dental practices in dental school nowadays and dental practice outside of dental school.
Okay.
So so tell me one thing. How did your journey start in dentistry?
Okay. So anyway, so first of all, thank you, JSL. It's so wonderful to be with you on this podcast.
It's my pleasure, sir.
And I think so it's role reversals.
I think role so, reversals. Yes.
Remember this dental material vivas, the preclinical prostho and the prostho vivas.
Yes.
And this is a role reversal.
Definitely.
So I'm equally tensed as you were during the vivas. So getting back to why and how dentistry happened to me.
Yes, sir.
I think so it's most common that most of us wanted to become a medical. I wanted to become a gynecologist.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to become a gynecologist. Okay. It's my dream to deliver babies.
Oh, wow.
So I started, in 1988, I appeared for my 12th.
Okay.
I got a good score.
Okay.
I thought I'll get my admissions in medical. Everybody said your percentage is fair enough for medical. Yes. I went to fill up my form. I remember those days, the municipal forms for the three municipal colleges had to be filled up at one medical college.
Okay.
And that it was said GS Medical College.
Okay.
When I was going, I asked my dad also, how do I come here? Because I thought I've got St. G.S. Medical College, because that was the top college for MBBS those days. Unfortunately, the list came up, and that year, to my good luck or bad luck, I must say, I'll use both the words good luck and bad luck, because for that time, it was bad luck.
Yeah.
I did not get my medical.
Yeah.
The percentage shot up because All India exam had started.
Okay.
And 15% seats were reserved for All India Medical.
Okay. So that was basically your year when they started with the All India exams.
Okay. Before that, there was no All India exams.
Okay.
So it was in 1988, All India exam started.
Okay.
And 15% seats were reserved for All India entrance.
Okay.
So the year passed and those because of that, the percentages went up. I did not get medical. I did not get dental. Oh. I got homeopathy at the Bombay College of Homeopathy at Irla. And I yet remember the principal, he was a Parsi gentleman. Okay. And he just refused to cancel my admission. He said, you're a Bengali and you must do homeopathy. Homeopathy is in the blood of every bong. And he said, you can't cancel this admission. You must become a homeopath. But somehow, those days, I was not so confident with homeopathy. As a professional board, I would say. And I went for my pharmacy.
Okay.
Now, the best part, JSL, I tell you know how particular I am about writing things.
Yes.
I filled up all the forms properly.
Yeah.
And only one form I went when it was, time to close the office.
Yeah.
And I filled up that form.
Okay.
And that was for the K.M. Gundanani Homeopathy Pharmacy College.
Pharmacy College, yes.
And that's the college I finally got my admission into. So I got my admission, course started, and I was, as usual, very dejected because I really worked hard and I wanted to become a doctor.
Yeah.
Year rolled out and I was spending most of my time on the Worli Sea Face because the college was at Worli Sea Face those days. So I yet have really fond memories of the Sadanand restaurant. Those who know about that, there's a Sadanand restaurant over there. Okay. So I just spend my time there and on the, you know, worldly sea face. Then came the exam, the final exam in the month of May.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the funniest part. The exams came in May. And suddenly one day I get a letter from Nair Hospital Dental College that the seats are opened up for 1988 batch and you come back for interviews. So, I know, generally we ask people around us and, you know, those good advisors told me that, oh, you're definitely, now that they've called you after a year, you'll definitely walk into NHDC.
Okay.
And I go that day, and that day I remember it was my general maths ka exam, board exam for my pharmacy. And I dropped that exam because I said, I'm getting dentistry. I don't need to go to give this exam. I went and I saw a huge crowd, and I was the 96th person standing in the row. The 100 people were called. And you know how many seats were there? There were only 4 seats.
Oh my God.
And they made us wait till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at 2 o'clock, the principal, I remember Dr. Sahani was the principal at that time. He comes up and says, now rest of you can go. And I was wild. I never knew I'm going to join dentistry.
Yeah.
So I was wild. I went to the principal and said, this is stupidity. You wasted my whole day. You should have told us before. Well, and it's a rule because those days we have to sign a bond.
Okay.
In a municipal. Okay. That you will serve the municipal for 5 years after doing your course. So that is why those people who don't sign that bond, they used to call more candidates. So again, rejected, went back, started studying my pharmacy
journey again.
4th day after this interview, I get a letter from GDC.
Okay.
And when I get this letter from GDC, now I say, now I'm not going to get this admission. I know this is all just bullshit. I'm also going to be one of those. But my dad insisted, my parents insisted, my mom also told me, no, you must go for the interview. Go and see what happens.
Yeah.
Luckily, there was no exam on that day. So I went for the interview. I yet remember we were called at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in St. George's, the dental college office over there of GDC on the ground floor. And I went and I saw there was no one over there. So it was a contrast to what happened in Nair Hospital and what happened in GDC. There was no one. So we reached by 11:30, 12, you know, Bombay standards. We need to keep our time. So we went and the interview was supposed to start at 2. So we went to the office. They said, yeah, we have got 2 seats.
Yeah.
One seat at Aurangabad and one seat at Nagpur.
Okay. So they were not in Bombay.
No.
Okay.
So this was through that. Those days there was something called a 30% all Maharashtra quota.
Okay.
In that quota, I was getting these 2 seats.
Okay.
And 2 candidates were called.
Okay.
One girl, I remember, she had come from Ullasnagar or Dombivli. She was supposed to come. And I was the person, one boy from Goregaon.
Okay.
So we were waiting because they said the interviews will start at 2 o'clock. And only 2 candidates were called for 2 seats.
Okay.
So they told us you can decide whichever, you know, depending upon your choice. Now, again, what happened? I was second in merit out of that girl. Now, this entire thing, I'll tell you, JSL also happened because I was so ignorant that I did not know that the maths mark was important in the ranking.
Okay.
I was good in maths, but I never studied maths, so I got only 60%.
Yeah.
So every time there was a ranking on the same percentage, my rank came down because of my maths mark.
Maths marks. So they used to consider that PCMB.
So it is PCB.
Yeah.
And then your maths mark would tell you it's the same percentage. They would rank you depending upon your maths mark.
Okay.
Then your English mark.
Oh, okay.
Then your Hindi mark.
Okay.
So that's how the same percentage person would be ranked up.
Okay.
So because of maths, every time my rank was coming down. I used to feel so desperate and horrible because I had got very good marks in maths. I was very good in maths. Okay. And I didn't study maths because I thought it was not important.
Yeah.
You know, PCB. I did that. Anyway, so that was part. So here there's 2 candidates for 2 seats.
Yeah.
So we were discussing, I and my dad discussed, made a seat in Aurangabad and Nagpur. So my dad said, Nagpur we know of. You know, Aurangabad was somewhere where you go for Ajanta Ellora. You know, all you know about Aurangabad is Ajanta Ellora those days. This I'm talking in 1989. And my dad said, okay, Nagpur, Bombay Calcutta mail stops in Nagpur. So we were accustomed to Nagpur.
Yes.
So we'll select like Nagpur if we get a chance. Yeah. 2 o'clock, that other girl did not turn up.
Okay.
So the clerk called me in and said, now there are 2 seats. You select.
Okay.
I selected Nagpur. I came out. So my letter was typed and they said that on Monday you need to go and secure the seat. I remember it was a Saturday that the interview was there. Said on Monday you have to go and secure your seat in Nagpur. And my dad came out. We were discussing that on the way we'll buy a ticket from,
yes,
you know, VT,
yes,
because you were at,
yes,
VT that time. That time so-called VT, it was not CST.
Yes.
So we said we'll buy the tickets over there. And we came out and that clerk was typing the letter. In the meantime, this girl and her father came running.
Okay.
Now she came in. She said, no, no, I was also there for the interview. So she went in.
Yeah.
But the clerk said, now you have now the earlier candidate, though he was less in merit, but he was on time.
Yeah.
So he has already selected Nagpur. You have to now go to Aurangabad. So this girl comes out. Her father comes out crying to my dad that my brother-in-law stays in Nagpur and ladki kya jaat hai. Mujhe please aap sir, seat wapas le lijiye.
Okay.
Let my daughter go to Nagpur. And my father, he just gave way to it and he told me, son,
you're going to Aurangabad.
So I had to go back in and again convince, that I'm taking my seat back and I'm going to Aurangabad.
Okay.
That's how I got my seat in GDC Aurangabad.
Wow.
Now, I told you it was unlucky. Yeah. Why I say good luck as well as bad luck?
Bad luck.
Bad luck was, you know, somehow dentistry came in so late.
Yes.
But good luck was, I went to Aurangabad, yeah, and I got my wife from there.
Oh.
So, probably I was destined,
yes,
to get,
yes,
my wife from Aurangabad. Yes. So that's how I came to dentistry.
Wow, beautiful.
So it was a big journey that I got into dentistry.
It is nothing less than a movie. So let me tell you this story.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's a beautiful, yeah, story.
So that's how
now
I
heading back, going a little forward, and tell me your experiences in the dental school. Like when you started the dental school, and then your experiences over there, like 5 years over there, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And in those 5 years, like, how did you feel and how did your journey in dentistry, in dental school go on?
Okay. First year was bad.
Okay.
Why bad? Because I was from Mumbai.
Yes.
Getting accustomed to Aurangabad was difficult. Okay. Especially the students and the culture of Aurangabad was a little difficult. So I told myself that, happen what may, I need to take a transfer to Mumbai after,
okay,
1 year. Those days we used to have transfers of inter-GDC transfers after 1 year. So I worked hard. I studied hard.
Mm.
I topped first year.
Wow.
I scored the highest score in dental materials, second highest score in anatomy,
wow,
third highest score in physiology. I was first rank in college. So I was so sure I will get my transfer to Mumbai.
Yes.
Again, bad luck or good luck.
Good luck.
It didn't happen. And I continued my dentistry. It was not a very easy job because I was not from a, you know, I would say not from a professional background.
Okay.
My parents had basic education. My dad was from a business family.
Okay.
Of course, my mom was a master's in economics and she used to work in RBI before our birth.
Okay.
But she had to leave it because of, to take care of
to
us.
Care, yeah.
So we were not from a very professional background.
Yeah.
So things were not easy.
Okay.
You know, trying to accommodate to dentistry, trying to accommodate to the culture of Aurangabad,
yeah,
all that happened. But one thing I'll tell you, you know, which if I look at today's students,
mm-hmm,
if there was a teacher who was shouting at you,
mm-hmm,
scolding you, putting you down,
mm-hmm,
today's students take it very negatively.
Yes.
But believe me, Jaisal, we used to be put down by every teacher around.
Okay.
But today I thank those teachers because of them, we are what we are today.
Definitely.
And there's one teacher who kept on putting me down in prosthetics. He's always say your life is, you are useless in prosthetics. Your future is dark in prosthetics. And I told myself, I'll become a prosthodontist and I'll come back.
Wow.
And I did it. So that was my journey. Of course, I will tell you something that I always thank my stars to go to GDC Aurangabad because our teachers were very good.
Okay.
Though they used to put you down, but the education was beautiful. The medical college teachers were very good.
Okay.
You know, even when I was a teacher in YMT.
Yes.
You know, Dr. Mrs. Chitnis, who was,
yes,
there with me, she,
yes,
was a past teacher of GDC,
yes,
Mumbai. She used to always tell me, Dr. Das, your basic sciences are very good. She used to always tell me, whenever she used to attend seminars with me for my PG, she would always tell me this. And this I thank to my GMC in Aurangabad.
Wow.
Because those teachers taught us that.
Wow.
So journey was good. I enjoyed. I got,
yeah,
my wife from there. I got very good friends from there.
Yeah.
I have lovely memories of Aurangabad.
Super.
And I learned whatever little dentistry I learned from there. So it was not that bad. But yeah, as I told you, it was difficult.
Okay.
We had a lot of rough waters.
Yeah.
But I came out of it.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Three things in dentistry that you actually learned from dental school, like apart from the basic sciences, knowledge is everything, but your experiences and dentistry things that you, like, you know, in maybe any kind of soft skill or maybe any kind of things that stayed with you from the dental schools.
From my graduate school?
I had
in my graduation and my post-graduation.
Yes.
So for my graduate school, yes, I learned what is perfection.
Okay.
I learned how to take care of my materials,
okay,
how to value even cotton roll. I'll tell you, we had Dr. Doifode. Yeah. Sir would always tell us, you know, save cotton as far as possible.
Wow.
He used to make us make small balls of cotton. And today in my practice, I know, every time I do that, I remember him.
Wow.
When I do my prosthetic work, you can come into my clinic. Yeah. You know how I was as a teacher.
Yes, definitely.
So my instruments are yet spick and span. Yes. That I learned from my teachers.
Okay.
And I feel that that somehow helps.
Okay. Okay.
You know, even for that matter, your attire.
Yes.
How you should dress up.
Yes.
I learned how important it is, you know.
Okay.
That you should dress up well.
Okay.
So that that makes you what you are.
Okay.
So that is what I learned from my graduate school.
Okay.
From my postgraduate school, I had a wonderful postgraduate teacher, Dr. Zabre.
Yes.
Sir has been, you know, a wonderful mentor for me in life. He's always been a very good mentor. He taught me how to be a good teacher.
Wow.
So whatever teacher I am,
yeah,
is because of Dr. Zabre.
Wow.
He taught me how to be a good teacher, being strict and being, you know, fair is what I learned from him. He taught me how to do that.
Yes.
He taught me more than prosthetic, how to look at post-graduation, he taught me, I would say. Because prosthetics, what we did during our college days and what we do today, is far different.
Definitely.
It's far different.
Definitely.
But this is what I learned from him.
Okay.
And that's what both the schools taught me, and I thank both the schools for it.
Yeah.
And fortunately, this year I had the opportunity to go back to both the places to lecture. So it was a real nostalgic moment. And again, you are here asking me all these questions, making me more nostalgic about it.
I think it's been a year for you that so many memories are, like, you know, brushed up again and again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
Going ahead again from your experiences, the scenario today, what they teach in dental schools, sir, currently. Now, coming back to the present thing, what they teach in dental schools and how much is relevant when you actually come out and practice dentistry in clinic, like, you know, clinics.
Yeah, good question. And so, Jaisalmer, you want to say how is what is taught in dental schools and what is practiced?
Yes.
How do you correlate that?
Yes.
A very good question. Thank you for asking me this, because today's generation always feels that what they are taught in dental schools are rubbish.
Yes.
And it should get modified.
Yes.
But a very simple example I would start here with is, when you are in a kindergarten, you're yet given a pencil, you're given a paper, and you're made to write ABC.
True.
How many times are we writing something today in this digital era?
Very few times.
Very few. But till you did not know how to write that A, how to pull that line, you would not be able to do what you're doing today.
True. True.
So I would tell students should look at our dental schools as the basic education that you're getting.
Okay. So, just to begin with something.
Yeah. So, like, you know, students tell me that, sir, why do you teach us these impression procedures?
Yeah.
Today it's a digital world.
Yeah.
But will you be able to take a digital impression if you did not know how to make a good alginate impressions?
No.
How to manipulate compound?
Yes.
How to do that border molding?
Yes.
Today you know that what is the limitation of a scanner, or when to use the scanner, how to use a scanner. That's happening because that basic knowledge is there.
Yes.
Silver amalgam. You know, students say we don't use silver amalgam anymore. Why do we teach it in dental colleges?
Yeah.
Because the basic cavity principles have to be taught.
Yes. Yes.
So basics have always to be taught.
Yes.
So students have to look at the dental school as the place where they learn the basic.
Okay.
They can not, of course, I would say somewhere that little modification is required, you know, in that basics, like, you know, instrumentation, if you can say, materials. I think somewhere at a later date, we should expose the students to the latest material.
Yeah. 100%
that part is there. Yeah. But the basics have to be taught. That is where your foundation is created.
Definitely.
And when you come into practice, see, I started my practice in 1997. I had never used light cure material. Composite material.
Okay.
In light cure only. Yeah. Composite material in college.
Yeah.
For us, that light cure gun was kept in a cupboard and was shown to us that is how a light cure gun looks. An ultrasonic scaler was on the VVIP chair.
Okay.
And we never used it.
Yeah.
For that matter, we never used an aero to handpiece.
Wow.
We had triple arms, max to max micromotor. We had hanging motors with straight handpieces that we were using. So that's how we practiced dentistry. But the day I started my practice, I never used anything other than a rotor. I did not do a single silver filling. So this transition is a huge transition. But that's where we have to create our soft skills, our knowledge before we start into practice.
So would you suggest, sir, that once you step out of the dental schools,
there
is a certain amount of maybe knowledge or maybe confidence to gain before starting the practice?
Of course. You have to understand that you are from A to A. You are coming from words to sentences.
Okay.
Very simple. Okay. Dental college is teaching you words.
Okay.
You are going to make sentences now.
Okay.
To make sentences, what were your English teachers would tell you? Read text, to read the novels. Same way, certain amount of reading. When I say reading means, you have to understand that I need to improve my skills in certain things.
Okay.
So that is extremely important.
Okay.
So if you ask me, myself, during my internship, I must tell you about this internship. You told me it was a 5-year course.
Yeah.
Again, you know, see, our batch, we were the first batch where internship started. Do you know that?
Oh, wow.
Rather, we were responsible, our batch in Aurangabad was responsible to start internship in dentistry.
Wow.
So in Maharashtra, dentistry did not have internship.
Okay.
And with something called as clinical assistance post.
Yes.
So only the 15% quota was there for CAship. So of the class, only 15% students would get into CAship.
Okay.
And only those who do CAship could do post-graduation.
Oh.
And they were eligible for all the government jobs. So
okay.
We appealed to the government
that
start internship and open up post-graduation to all the students.
Fair enough.
And the extent we did an Amar and Uposhan. We fast unto death.
Wow.
We had Gopinath Munde, who was the leader of the opposition, who came and interviewed us for it.
Okay.
He raised it in the parliament.
Okay.
In the Vidhan Sabha.
Yeah.
We gheared out the chief minister, because those days used to have the assembly in Aurangabad. So when he came to Aurangabad, we sat in front of his car. We were picked up by the police and put in jail for all of it. So we did all of that to start internship.
Okay.
Now, internship started, and in internship, I realized that I have to transit from that A to the sentences.
Okay.
And what I did is, I picked up a person called Dr. Jesurikar, who had a wonderful practice in Aurangabad.
Oh, okay.
And every day during my internship, I used to go and just see what he's doing.
Observation is what...
Absolutely.
He got.
I always, you know, I mean, when you all were students, you remember, I used to always tell you in internship.
Yes.
Go ahead and see someone who has a good practice in your locality.
Yeah.
See how that person, because what you need to learn is most important is your soft skills.
Definitely. Observation is a very important part of dentistry, like a journey, important part of the journey of dentistry. Because nowadays there are students who really want to jump into like, oh no, I want to like, you know, start doing the RC, start doing the crown preps, and like, I want to be good at it. But instead of that, just be a little patient.
Absolutely.
Go and observe someone who's doing that. And you will observe a lot of skills, like how the person is holding an aerator, how the person is taking an impression, what are the hand movements. I would say that's like, you know, observation is very important, because you observe a small skills which is not maybe written in
absolutely
the book.
Maybe,
absolutely. Or maybe you skipped it. Maybe.
See, Jaisal, as you're saying, not only your working skills.
Yeah.
When you go to a practice, you'll understand that how to speak to a patient.
Yes.
How to modify your treatment modalities according to the patient's needs.
Okay.
Because in dental colleges, what happens in dental schools, we have very set principles in which we are treating our patients.
Yeah.
You know, the unfortunate part is today's if I tell you out of 100 students, my own experience of dental college teaching was out of 100 students, only 10 were really interested to do dentistry.
Dentistry.
And learn dentistry in a better way.
Okay.
The remaining 90 enjoyed internship.
Yeah.
And post-internship, they're ready to spend money and do courses. That's okay. The unfortunate part of it. Because I had started in my department itself that the interns will assist postgraduate students. Post them at the postgraduate clinic so that they see that what can be done, how better we can do prosthetics. But they never took it seriously because it's not part of the syllabus.
Okay.
So we are so syllabus bound in colleges.
We just need to get out of the colleges.
And you feel interns are like the liberated gang, you know. They feel that they are their bosses and they don't want to listen to anyone. So that was the unfortunate part.
Yeah.
But these same students, they come out and they'll spend money and learn this.
Learn these things,
So we have to understand that there's a transition. We have learned the basics. We're going to go into complex situations. For that, we have to go through certain training. Sometimes if required, you feel that you're not very good at a particular thing.
Yeah.
You can do a small course or attend a few lectures on it. You know, CDs keep happening. You can just attend that and improve that skill of yours.
Definitely.
And most importantly is your soft skills.
That is.
How to talk, what to talk, where to talk.
Yeah.
Is very important.
But don't you think so that is the only thing that is not maybe taught in dental schools?
Yeah, 100% I agree that somewhere, we should teach management.
Okay.
You know, management should be a subject compulsory in colleges.
Okay. Maybe clinical management or something
overall,
like that?
Overall, professional management. I would say professional management where even, you know, learning the dental chair, the parts of the dental chair, you know, so many times there is a problem in your clinic and you're hanged up because you did not know what to do. Yeah. And the mechanic comes in and he just moves the screw and it's done.
Yeah.
But the problem is we did not have the knowledge of it.
Yeah.
So if we have the knowledge of it, so if you go back, we taught you how to do a teeth setting.
Yes.
We taught you how to do a model. But do you really do it in your clinics? You don't do it. But why did we teach you? Because we wanted you to know that skill.
True.
Students at that time would tell us, kyun preclinical sikhate, kon karega, hum to karenge nahi apni clinic mein. But you need to do it so that you can control those steps in the laboratory when you're a clinician.
Yes, yes.
Similarly, these things.
Yes.
You know, how to repair a dental chair. What are the parts of the dental chair? Few electrical parts of the dental chair.
Yeah.
Why not teach these?
True.
And accounts.
Yes. The finance.
Very, very management of finance. Forget management of finance. I say management of finance is a big thing.
Yeah.
But at least basic accounts. What are the books of accounts that you need to maintain? You know, I know students who come out of dental colleges don't know how to write a check also. So of course, today checks are, you know, almost. But it is necessary to know how to know what are the entries in a book, you know, how to keep your accounts, what accounts you have to submit to for auditing or when you're sending it to your CA. Yeah. So I'll tell you this also, very interesting. I was from an ICC school.
Yeah.
So in the ninth standard, you have the choice to select an optional subject.
Okay.
So since I knew I want to go into PCB.
Yeah.
I opted out to take accounts in my ninth standard.
So that it can help you later.
So everybody
on.
In my class who had taken accounts, like my best friend Nikhil, he had taken accounts because he wanted to become a chartered accountant.
Okay.
So he told me then, why did you take accounts? You want to become a doc.
Yeah.
I said, yes, that's the reason I want to learn accounts now.
Yes.
I can't learn accounts later on. You can learn accounts later on. You should have picked up some other subject. So I thank for my little wisdom at that time that I took accounts and I was very good at my accounting.
Yes.
These little soft things, subjects, I think so should be introduced as a, you know, para subject to in dentistry.
Parallelly, when you learn dentistry, these are the things that, you know, maybe you can exam us and that's a different thing. But to learn about certain things, like what it takes to open a clinic.
Exactly.
Is a challenge for some dentist, I guess.
Yeah. Now, again, Jaisal, one thing I'll tell you. It's high time we dentists get out of the mindset that after dentistry, I must start my clinic.
Okay.
Understand, dentistry is a graduation.
Okay.
You've graduated.
Yeah.
And you can do lots more with dentistry.
Wow.
This is something that I learned after I left dental colleges.
Oh.
After I left mainline academics.
Okay.
That we are so mindset that moment a student graduates, he has to practice dentistry.
Okay.
He can use his dentistry skills for so many things.
Definitely.
He can go into marketing. He can go into production. He can go into so many things.
Yes. Yes.
Why are we limiting ourselves to clinical practice? If I see someone doing, you know, selling a product, a dental product.
Yeah.
I say, usko practice jawani isliye wo kar rahe.
Yeah.
But that's wrong. Probably he's good at selling.
Maybe.
He has the skill, he has the soft skill to market things. He's able to do it and he's using his dentistry knowledge, because in case I have to sell a handpiece to a dentist, I should know what that handpiece is. And who will know better than a dentist? So if a dentist has to sell a handpiece, he'll sell it better than a non-dentist selling a handpiece.
Definitely, definitely.
So we should look at dentistry after graduation in a different way.
Okay.
Get out of the mindset that I need to do my practice after my graduation.
Wow, that's a very deep insight, like, you know, because I think that happens with a lot of dentists who are doing the internship and just thinking that, okay, now next step is just my clinic.
Absolutely.
Next step is just my clinic.
I absolutely agree with you, Jisel. And that's why I really feel I want to go out to students and tell them that please be open to do anything after that.
Wow.
You can even go ahead and, you know, you can do, I'll tell you, you can do anything. I have got students who have become tattoo artists.
Wow.
I've got students who have started a gym.
Wow.
I have a postgraduate student who's working and having a gym of his own.
Wow.
So why not?
Yes.
You know, probably he understands. He basically, he runs something called as a recovery center, which is required for heart gymers.
Wow.
So he's a doc. He knows exactly the body well. And
yeah.
He's using it.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Yes.
He's doing, probably because we select dentistry, as I said, most of us come by default into dentistry.
True.
Even for the medical also. How much do we understand in the 12th about medical?
True.
We just join because we want to do it. Or our parents have done it. Or our parents are telling us to do it.
We don't have that clarity. Like, we have to practice dentistry itself.
Exactly. I'm telling you, out of my postgraduates, I learned this a lot. I had a postgraduate who joined me because he wanted to do implant prosthodontics. And today he's doing aesthetic prosthodontics. Because he realized that he's not good. He is better at aesthetic prosthodontics than implant prosthodontics.
Yeah. It is like give yourself a chance to at least explore.
Absolutely.
Something.
And keep your mind open. Do not get
yes.
locked.
Yes.
We
yes.
lock ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
In our practice, we just lock ourselves.
Okay.
You know, we, after dentistry, BDS, between BDS, I must do a post-graduation or I must get into practice.
Okay.
Ye nahi kiya toh kuch nahi kiya. Get out of that.
Wow. Definitely. So that actually makes sense. And I'm sure this is going to help a lot of people out there.
Hopefully.
And
hopefully.
Yes. Because see, I feel that people who lose out interest in dentistry midway, supposedly, they choose to maybe either
yeah.
drop out, or maybe they think that, okay, now my life has come till this point. There's no other option ahead. So maybe this can help those people, like, you know, after dentistry, don't restrict yourself, because
Jason,
dentistry has...
I give you examples of YMT. Where we had couple of students, almost every batch.
Okay.
I had one odd student who would say, sir, I really don't feel I can do dentistry.
Wow.
I feel I should go back to my parents' business or I want to do something else.
Yeah.
And I've counseled them. I've counseled them just that you finish your graduation,
okay.
finish your internship.
Yes.
You may not do your registration.
Yes.
Do your internship, take a degree.
Okay.
Become a graduate at least. Don't stay a non-graduate.
Okay, okay.
And then you can do what you want.
Yes, definitely.
Or else decide now and do another graduation.
Okay.
Either or.
Yeah.
So I have got a couple of students who we have done that.
Yeah.
Almost every batch we had one odd student who would come out, because we realize today your generation is more open to understand. You know, we were what? Isme dal diya, wo karna hai.
Yeah, yeah.
But today's generation is not like that. They're very open. They understand what they want to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, very confused.
Yeah.
Because there are too many options.
So as a professor, maybe these are also certain things that you need to take care, like, of your students, apart
100%.
From teaching them, 100%. Need to counsel them and guide them is very important. Very
100%,
important.
100%, 100%.
Wow.
That was a big work that I had to do in my college, I remember.
Wow. And so definitely it came to you because you're definitely good at it. And I'm like, your counseling helps people and makes them realize that, okay, fine. There are certain things that you can do apart, like after graduating as
exactly.
well. And you're good at it. You're
exactly.
like, you have that skill of
see,
convincing.
You have to understand whenever, see, even in your own practice, I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, there's a patient who comes into my clinic
mm-hmm.
and he was referred by a doctor for implants, full mouth implants.
Okay.
I looked at the patient. I sent him for a basic OPG first,
mm-hmm.
got the OPG
mm-hmm.
done, called him in. And I said,
mm-hmm.
do you really want implants?
Okay.
Because I felt that moment I would have done implant, this patient would not have got any treatment done. He could not
okay.
afford. He was a middle class person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I told him, why have you... The doctor ne mereko bola, even the medical doctor had advised him, because that doctor is my patient. So he said, go and get implants done, then you're all the lost teeth, you will get replaced.
Okay.
You can, you know, if I have to do a full mouth implant, what's going to be the budget?
Yes, definitely.
Is it really possible in a middle class today family to afford this?
Yes.
No, so it should not happen that the patient doesn't get rehabilitated just because he thought implant is the only option.
Yeah.
So I gave him all the options.
Yeah.
I gave him right from complete dentures to supported over denture, implant supported over denture to implant retained denture.
Definitely.
And the patient was convinced that, okay. Yeah. I said, go step by step. You can always go for tooth supported over denture, then implant supported over denture, then implant retained. Yes. Depending if you're not comfortable, then you spend more money. So this is what we have to understand. Keep your eyes open. Don't get lured that moment patient has come for implant, I must put implants everywhere and finish it off.
I think so this is the correct time to segue into the private practice, as you actually gave an example, which is amazing, that in your private practice, apart from the treatments, it's very important to read the patients.
Absolutely. Keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, remember we used to have something called as gate of the patient?
Yes. Yes.
This is where it comes. Yeah. You know, we felt in case history why those were taught. But I'll tell you, today in practice, this is very important. That's the reason those things were taught in the history over there. Wow. How the patient is walking in.
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you, that same patient yesterday, when I told him everything and when he was walking out, his wife was, he had a more, you know, the wife was taking the discussion more than the husband. The husband was more of a latent part of the discussion. Okay. And while leaving, she just said that, okay, I'll ask my daughters. My daughters are married off, but I must ask them before planning the final treatment option. So then the husband got up. That's the only time he spoke. And as he spoke, "Haan, ab to unko puchna hi padta hai. Nahin poochho to khud ko jyada samajhte. Ab hum retired hai na." So see, this reading I took of that patient. Because the day one, the patient came, I realized that he wants to speak, but he's not able to do what he wants. He's guided by a lot of other things. Controlled by a lot of other things. They're more than guided, he's controlled by other things. So now he was happy that I am giving him his choice. I put the choice to him instead of me giving a treatment option to him.
Definitely.
This reading we must do.
Definitely.
And I'll tell you, to do this, it needs time.
Yes.
You ask me, tomorrow you get into practice, you'll not be able to do. Go work with, I'm telling you, Dr. Jezurikar, till today, almost, you know, 10 years, even after my post-graduation, every time I went to Aurangabad, because my in-laws are from Aurangabad, every time I went to Aurangabad, I used to be in Sir's clinic.
Wow.
To see how sir is treating patients. And he was always telling me, "Are kya das, you have now done your post-graduation, you are better than me." I said, "I am better than me in only prosthetics, sir. But you are better in managing the patients, and that is what I've come to learn."
Definitely.
So this is what is important.
I think newcomer, like new dentists who are getting into the practice and everything, they have this pressure like, okay, fine, I've invested so much, I should start the treatment as soon as the patient comes in. So they have this mentality like the patient should not get out of the chair ROI. Without doing the treatment. And I feel that, obviously, so my experience has been very like of 10 years now, but I feel that unless and until the patient is completely comfortable,
absolutely,
do not start the treatment.
See, a very, very good point, Jaisal, you have raised over here is ROI. Return of investment.
Yes.
The unfortunate part again is what, you know, today, if I ask you, how many times did you take a public transport to come to dental college?
I just did it for like 6 months of the first 5 years.
Okay. And because we have our parents who pampered us.
Yeah.
You had.
Yes, definitely.
I had my parents who pampered me equally.
Yeah.
But they taught me the reality of life also. Unfortunately, we parents, you know, I as a parent today, I am hesitant to teach my child the reality of life.
Okay.
Is travel by BST bus?
Yes.
Travel by local train?
Yes.
You know, as I told you, today to come to do this, you know, whenever you want to go somewhere, we prefer to call an Uber, we'll take a hired car, but we'll not go into public transport.
Yes. Yes.
So what happens is, you'll ask me, sir, why are you telling me this?
Yeah.
Because y'all are so used to spending 1,000 rupees without understanding the value of that 1,000 rupees.
Okay.
Yeah, you may daily spend 1,000 rupees without understanding the value of it.
True.
But when you get into practice,
that's
the time you're feeling the pinch.
Yeah, because that's the time you have to earn.
I'll tell you, most of y'all are fortunate that the investment is also not done by y'all.
Yeah.
It's done by your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sitting there, and because you have to go out for a party tonight, and now you can't ask money from your dad, because he's already given you enough. You feel he has given you enough. And you are now grown up and you should have your own money. And you can't earn 1,000 rupees in a day.
Yeah.
And you feel dentistry is not giving me what I want.
True.
But if I ask myself, dentistry has given me that I could qualify and educate both my kids who are abroad.
Okay.
So how can I say dentistry doesn't give anything?
Yes. So stop blaming dentistry for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Blame yourself. Try to intercept yourself.
Yeah.
This all takes time. Money doesn't come immediately.
True.
Practice doesn't come immediately.
True.
Who's coming to you? Which patient is coming to you? You are maybe the 41st dentist on a road which has 40 dentists. So to become that 41st one, from 41st to move up the scale, right? Modi ji got India to the third position. He did not immediately get into the first position.
Definitely.
It took time. He took 10 years to do that.
True.
He said in another 5 years, he'll bring it even ahead.
Yeah.
So same thing. We must give time to ourselves.
True.
And slowly grow up the ladder to establish ourselves. Don't get dejected that dentistry doesn't give me anything.
Have patience and have faith.
Absolutely. Like, ऊपर वाला जो पेट दिया है उसको भरने के लिए वो ही कर देगा.
Definitely.
You know, I totally believe in this.
Yeah.
That when God has given us appetite, He will fill the appetite for us.
Definitely.
Have that faith in that Almighty, whoever it is.
Yes.
I mean, not say, you know, whichever God it is.
Yes. Yes.
Have
definitely.
That feeling that we will survive if we have to survive. We are met for it.
Yeah. So you picked up correct, like you said it correctly that. People start blaming dentistry, that dentistry does not have money, like dentistry may be paisa nahi raha, there's too much of competition, as you said, 40th dentist, 41st dentist. But to, like, you know, shift that perspective from negative to positive, like, I need to realize that, okay, let's stop blaming dentistry.
Absolutely.
Let's start learning dentistry and have faith in dentistry.
Absolutely. And do the best.
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you, when I started my practice in 97, I was scared to start my practice because I have done my post-graduation. I had not done basic dental practice. I had not done, you know, other faculty, other treatments of dentistry. And I called up my guy, Dr. Jabre. I called him up frantically. I said, sir, I don't think so. I'm going to do an endo. I'll not be able to do a root canal. I'll not be able to do a filling. He said, you'll be doing it. He just said, have confidence in yourself and do the best.
Yes.
You know, on Sunday, I was lecturing in Aurangabad. Somebody, the question asked, we had a panel discussion, and the question asked was whether we should do intentional root canal or not.
Okay.
If yes, in which conditions? If not, what?
Okay.
So my answer to that question was, will you do an intentional endo for your son's tooth?
When it comes to your family.
I would not ask your spouse, because probably you like to do it on your spouse. But when it comes to your child?
Yeah.
You will definitely not do, you will do, take the right decision.
Definitely.
When it is required.
Definitely.
You will use all your wisdom at that time.
Definitely.
Same way, use all your wisdom to treat your patients.
Definitely.
Treat your patients that way. I'm telling you, patients get back to you.
Okay.
25 years you have seen me in YMT.
Yeah.
I used to practice only 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
When I left college, I'm not totally busy in my practice.
Yeah.
So it's not that practice doesn't come.
Yes.
You know, it is always there.
Yeah.
I did my practice during my college days also.
Yeah.
Post college also, I'm doing my practice.
Wow.
So it is, we have to have faith and we should do the best. If you're doing the best, they come back to you.
Definitely. I've had the same experience that the same patient who used to come to me for a dislodged bridge. Every time he used to come, and I used to tell him, and he had multiple bridges. So I used to suggest him that, you know, you need an FMR. The reason being, it's not set at the same time.
Exactly.
So he came for a year back to back to me. Like, you know, I explained him every time and I was being patient. I never forced him for the treatment.
Absolutely.
I explained
Perfect.
Him once and then I did my best. Like whenever he used to come, I used to treat him. One fine day he came down, like, let's sit down and talk about it.
Exactly.
Like, that's what happens.
Do not get carried away.
Definitely.
By the patient.
Yeah.
You are the decision maker in your practice.
Yes.
And make the right decision. To make the right decision, qualify yourself to it. Because dental colleges will not give you everything. You'll have to keep yourself updating yourself, attend CDE programs, attend various training programs. There are so many training programs happening around you. Go ahead, attend them. Pick up and don't have a mindset that, okay, Dr. Das in his course told us this and we must do this. No. He's telling his thought process.
Yes.
Is that thought process logical for your practice?
Yeah.
How much it is scientific is what I and you have to evaluate.
Okay.
This is important. Remember, don't get dogmatic. We are very dogmatic because we're so used to it in school, you know. Jo maths ka step diya hai. A plus B, B plus C is equal to D.
Yeah.
Nothing in life is that way.
Okay.
A plus B can be D directly.
Okay.
Depending upon the case scenario.
And
so this is what is important.
That's the reality of the clinical dentistry. What they teach you in dental school is A plus B plus C plus D.
Because we're teaching you the right, just the steps.
Yes.
No, when you came to third year, we selected type of complete denture patient that we gave you.
Yes.
We did not give you a resorb ridge case.
True.
Whereas in final BDS second term, I gave you a resorb ridge case.
Yes.
Internship, I gave you only resorb ridge cases.
Yes.
Why? The teacher was controlling that clinical scenario for you.
Yeah.
You thought you just did a complete denture which was given to you.
Yeah.
But the teacher was controlling.
Yeah.
But in your practice, you can have a good ridge case and a resorb ridge case.
Yes.
Now, because the teacher controlled it over there, you're thinking, okay, now this is how I did it in internship, so I should do this.
Yeah.
So that's how you have to modify your practice.
Definitely. Definitely. Huh? So that's when, this is what my experience is. The first clinic that I opened up, and the interior work was going on and everything. The moment I saw my name on that board, the reality hit that now there will be no guidance per se. Definitely that my sirs are there over the call. But then when the patient enters, it's me who has to manage the patients. Then and there it's my name that it's going to run. The practice is going to run.
Absolutely.
So more than looking at it as a application, I would say it's a responsibility as well of your dentistry.
Absolutely.
Of your knowledge.
Absolutely. It's so true, Jaisal. I'll tell you my own experience also on this. You know, when I started my practice, I was a postgrad in prosthetics.
Yes.
Just finished post-graduation and started. How much do I know prosthetics? Do I know 100%? When I'm a master, no?
Yeah.
A master is supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
But it's not that way. I hardly knew 10% of prosthetics.
Wow.
Not even 10%, I would say. But if a patient comes to me
and
I fail to do the prosthesis for him.
Yeah.
So if a patient comes with complete denture.
Yeah.
Okay. If he comes to a BDS practitioner, he gets the complete denture, cannot do it, he will refer it to a master. But what will an MDS do if his complete denture doesn't sit? So this is what hit me.
Yes.
And I said, I must work very, very meticulously for that.
Yes. Yes.
Also, I'll tell you, y'all must be, teacher ko kya jata hai marks dene ko, teacher ko kya jata hai vaiva lene ko. You know, the first exam I took was for GDC Nagpur.
Okay.
It was in way back in, let me recollect, it was in 2000 from first batch. And I was going for exam and I called up Jabri sir. I said, sir, how do I decide whom to pass, whom to fail? You know, I'll tell you, Jaisal, believe me, it's very easy to pass a student. It's very difficult to fail a student.
Yeah.
Because not only does the student fail, the entire family feels with it.
Definitely.
This is what I felt whenever I failed. Yeah. And you all felt that Dasar is a bad teacher. He gives very less marks. Because I felt the student who's good deserves more than what the bad student does.
True.
You know, I can just give 18 on 20 to everyone.
Yeah.
But that is not fair to a student who has really worked up to get 18.
18. Yes.
And a student who's just, you can relate to me what
definitely.
I'm trying to say. I'm sure
definitely.
Now you'll be relating it to
definitely.
Me.
Definitely.
But there, back in dental schools, you would curse us.
Yeah.
Dasar is one person who doesn't give marks, other teachers give good marks. But because I was a teacher who felt that, give value to that person what he's doing.
Definitely.
You know, your hard work has to give you some value somewhere.
Definitely.
Same way in your practice, if you do good work, charge your patient. There is nothing, there's no doubt in charging your patients.
Yeah.
Because this is your kingdom. I always call, my clinic is my kingdom. I'm the king over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
The choice is for the patient to come into my kingdom.
Yes.
When the patient enters my kingdom, it is my kingdom.
Yes.
You have to be my peasant. You have to follow what I am telling you.
Yes. Yes.
Choice is yours.
Yes.
Choice is only to come into my kingdom.
Yes.
But as a peasant, as a good king, I must take care of my peasants.
True.
Same way, I have to treat my patients with utmost loyalty.
Yeah.
Then I'll be doing good.
Definitely.
So that's
definitely.
How I look at it.
Definitely, sir. So coming back to this small topic, what do you think that the research in dentistry and how it is going on in current state in India? I know it's a vast topic, but it's something that always hit my head, that research in dentistry.
You are absolutely right, Jaisal. And research is something which is paramount important.
Yeah.
And if you look back, India was the, or our country was the heart of research. Anything that started from India. We gave zero to the world.
Yes.
The biggest thing we gave is zero to the world.
Yes.
Dentistry has its roots back in Indus Valley civilization. So oldest dentistry is from India. Oldest implantology was in India.
Wow.
We have seen the oldest implantations being done in India. Because India was rich in heritage and culture and science. We had, you know, our medical science, our dental science is much older than what the Western world is.
Wow.
But the unfortunate part is this in between that our country went through.
Mm.
The hardships that our country went through.
Yeah.
This entire thing has got, you know, sidelined. And now we feel that research is happening in the West. The unfortunate part is we are in our country, we are yet not able to capitalize research.
Okay.
When I say capitalize, if I want to do a research, am I really getting the funds? If I look, yeah, government has got its funds, university has got its funds. How easy it is to reach these funds?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of white collarism which goes to this. And how authentic is this research? The problem is the authenticity.
Yes.
You know, because I have my doubts. Why only in our country, anywhere? A good research has to be controlled well.
Yes.
It has to be funded well.
Yeah. It is not supposed to be biased.
Exactly. Non-biased research. Fortunately, I think so. Europe and UK has a good, you know, as far as these things are concerned. Of course, UK is going through rough waters because of, you know, its own financial conditions.
Yes.
But Europe is doing good on that.
Yeah.
My personal experience is the courses that I did in Europe really helped me.
Yeah.
They were not capitalistic courses. They were not marketing courses.
Okay.
They were courses which taught me science.
Okay.
So I really upgraded myself through those.
Yeah.
Because even if you go to the US, most of the thing I feel over there is very capitalistic. Okay. They want to capitalize on a particular thing that they want to sell through that course.
True, true.
So that again, that research gets, you know, biased.
Biased.
So of course, yeah, we must get into research. I'm sure most of the dental colleges should have good research facility.
Yeah.
At the same time, this research should be done in such a way that people can come in open to do the research.
Yeah.
Our problem is we want, our system is not yet set for research.
Okay.
There's a lot of work, homework, which has to be done by the authorities to get into good research.
Yeah.
And I hope very soon we get it in our country.
Yes, definitely. And you mentioned, sir, that you did a course from Europe. I think it's Dr. Fridiani's course.
Mauro Fridiani, yeah.
Yes. How was your experience over there?
Really, I must tell you this. This was a wonderful experience because Dr. Mauro Fridiani, who was the one of the big bosses of aesthetic dentistry, the zeal and the knowledge and the way he does his practice was wonderful. In 2017, I did my course. But I'll tell you, that day and today in India, we've changed a lot.
Okay.
What he did in 2017 was most surprising for me because I felt we in India don't do this.
Yeah.
But today, we are doing a lot of digital work in India.
Yeah.
So, of course, things have changed in our country. But it was very good. A wonderful experience I had. A lovely, small, you know, the problem is we never ask ourselves why. You know, the childhood, we had this encyclopedia called Tell Me Why.
Tell me why.
Unfortunately, we forget this tell me why as we mature.
Curiosity.
We have to be curious of every step that we are doing.
Yeah.
Everything that we are doing, we have to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Why there's a cavity in the patient's mouth? Why there's a profit?
Yeah.
Why there's calculus in the patient's mouth?
Yeah.
That why will help you to become a much better clinician.
Okay.
This I learned from him.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Here, one thing again I would like to mention you, that my experience, we were 21 dentists attending that course from 19 countries.
Yeah.
Out of that, I think so, there were two people from Africa and I and Dr. Makran were from India. Rest of them were from the European country, from the various countries in Europe.
Yeah.
Basic dentistry is far, far good in our country.
Wow. Wow.
you know, literally every participant there was asking us about a few things. From the simple things like dental anatomy and dental materials.
Wow.
So much so that we had a WhatsApp group where I came back to India and I shared with them a soft copy of Wheelers for them.
Wow.
So our skills and our knowledge is far better. But where we are lacking is in technology. But today I think so we are fair enough good in our technology.
We are coping up with it.
We have coped up. Okay. Not coping up, I say we have coped up.
Okay.
I'm sure we have coped up.
Okay.
Today, you know, you see a semi-adjustable articulator or a Facebook or a scanner.
Yes.
Is something that most of us are using in our practice.
Yes, definitely.
So, we are no way, you know, inferior to any of the Western countries.
Yeah.
But of course, a good experience I had over there.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of things in dentistry.
Yeah.
From Mauro Frediani to, you know, Dawson.
Yeah.
I did my Dawson's Academy course also.
Wow.
And most importantly, I learned from someone called Maria. Maria Szyslik from Austria. She's from Budapest. And she gave me a totally... She opened my eyes to look at dentistry in a totally different way. Today, I look at dentistry in a totally different... After I got trained with Maria.
Okay.
She taught me how to look at the patient in a totally different aspect.
Wow.
So that's what I learned over there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, sir, I'll share an experience here that I have done your course in like full mouth rehabilitation, the basic
2 days program.
Yes. So, so the one thing that you go is you go back to your roots. You shared a slide over there, which is stuck to me till date.
Okay.
And I have a screen, like we were allowed to take the photo also, and I've kept that slide, you know, basic pronunciation and the relation of the teeth. So the thing is that you go back and basic and you share that, you know, the research in the dental sciences was deep rooted in India.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see our vowels and consonants are so scientifically based.
Yes.
They're the English vowels and consonants.
Yes.
That's what I shared with you all during
Yes, definitely, sir.
So how scientific our culture was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, truly if you understand, we are called to have the Sanatan Dharma.
Yeah.
You know what is the word Sanatan means? It means the science of life.
Okay.
It basically teaches you how to inculcate science in life.
Wow.
This is Indian religion.
Wow.
You know what we did in COVID?
Yeah.
What did COVID teach us? You know what did we do in COVID? The moment you come into the house, wash your hands and legs outside the house and enter.
Yes.
Which is always done in Indian houses.
Yes.
Old in Indian houses always had that you to wash your hands and mouth and legs before you enter the house.
Yes.
You were not allowed to wear clothes which you were wearing in public and come into the house.
Yes, yes.
You had to throw away all those clothes, put it to washing and then come in.
Yes.
We did all of that in COVID. Yes. So it was, what different did we do in COVID?
Yeah.
You tell me.
I think we went back to the basics.
Yeah.
And
nature taught us.
Yes.
That don't forget your basics.
Yes.
Same way the dental schools teach you the basics.
Yes.
So don't forget the basics.
Yes. Definitely, sir. Definitely. So 5 things that you'd like to, just give a message out to practicing dentists or the newcomer dentists or who are already practicing dentistry.
5 things.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, don't forget what you learned in your dental schools. Keep reading those. You know, because probably why I tell you that ki we did our dental materials in first year or second year. We did a dental anatomy in first year, second year. But at that time, we did not understand how to relate it to our subject.
Yes.
Go back, read it.
Okay.
Read your final year books once more.
Yeah.
I'm sure when you now read it, you will read it in a totally different way. Your perspective of reading that book will be totally different.
Definitely.
So go back to your dental schools, read those things once again. Is what I would say.
Yeah.
First thing. Secondly, develop your soft skills.
Yes.
Extremely important. Be open. And when you are in an audience of dentists, discuss how that person manages a clinical scenario. Then to understand, are tune kitna patients kiya, mere paas touch patient hi nahi tha. Why discuss that?
Yeah.
Everything comes to your fortune. So discuss, how did you manage? Are mere paas aisa patient, how did you manage it?
Yes.
So inter-discussion will help you to develop your soft skills.
Yes.
Third, be open that you may have to train yourselves to certain things.
Okay.
You may need to do little bit more of certain things.
Yeah.
You may have to improve your endo.
Yeah.
See, after a couple of years, I used to do endo in my practice earlier. But I soon realized endo is not my forte. Mm-hmm. I need to have an endodontist in my practice.
Okay.
So that is what is important.
Okay.
Delegate. You have to either improvise on that.
Or delegate.
You can improvise it in any way. Yeah. I improvise in my practice by having the specialist walking into my practice.
Definitely.
So it is how you improve yourself.
Yeah.
Fourth thing, what I must tell you is, do a lot of CD programs. Be connected to your fraternity. We dentists don't like to connect to our fraternity.
Yes, yes.
We are very jealous.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
The jealousy comes because we are not happy at seeing others' success.
Okay.
Be happy with everybody's success.
True.
Success is
true.
You know, I feel are you successful? I'm successful.
Yeah.
I've got two kids. They've done their best. I have a wife who's doing her best.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Success comes the way you look at it.
Yeah.
I can say, oh, my son is yet not married. Oh, I need to have one more house. I wanted a Mercedes. So I'll never be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So happiness and success comes to you. You have to decide and be happy what you're doing.
Okay. Okay.
And lastly and most importantly, be proud to be a dentist.
That's very important.
Extremely important. Remember, you're not a dentist. You are a dentist.
Yes.
You are a super, super specialist. You only look at teeth. You don't look anywhere else. So you're a super specialist.
Definitely.
So that's what my take home to all my listeners.
Fabulous.
And be proud to be a dentist.
Fabulous.
The day you be proud,
You'll
see you've got all the success that you want.
Beautiful, sir. Beautiful. Yeah? I think we come to the end of the episodes. And would you like to share something?
Nothing. Friends, enjoy dentistry.
Yeah.
Feel free to connect to all of us. I'm always there.
Definitely.
As a mentor, as a teacher, and as a whatever, I'm always there to connect to you all.
Beautiful.
So be in touch with me.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Jaisal, for inviting me.
Thank you so much, sir.
And it's been so wonderful experience to being interviewed by your student. I'm telling you, friends, this is something I would also like to share. It's such a proud moment that your student calls you.
Yeah.
And now I know that dasar, how it has converted here.
Definitely.
So thank you, Jaisal, for calling me.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much.